We good to go?
Yeah.
All right. I guess one more time for the recording. My name's Nat Dukes.
And I'm Judah LeBlanc.
Judah LeBlanc. And my show, as I guess as local, I'll go first, but my show, Breakthrough, is a dance show. It's a one of its kind out of Nova Scotia. It's an all breaking or breakdancing show. I have five incredible dancers that I've been working with, and we have about a 10-minute piece. It's kind of like the first draft of what is hoping to be a full, like, length show later on down the road. But this year in Fringe, we have a little showing of what we have so far.
Neat. So it sounds like it's a kind of a taste of what's to come.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow, great.
Yeah.
So how long have you been working on the piece?
I've been working on the piece now. This would be going into year three. It first started as a trio. The first version of it ended up being a duo because a dancer had to pull out due to injury, and then we did the true trio version after that. And then I was lucky enough to be supported by Arts Nova Scotia to work on the part that we have right now. We used all Nova Scotian hip hop. So there's an MC and university professor by the name of Michael McGuire, Herman of the Woods. He has an archives called East of East, and it is a documentation of all Atlantic Canadian hip hop, New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, PEI, Newfoundland. And he opened up the archives to us so that we could use Nova Scotian artists. And so the entire music is all Nova Scotian artists.
Neat, yeah. I never heard of Nova Scotian hip hop, but I don't know too much about hip hop. It's not really.
Oh, don't worry, you're not alone in that statement.
Yeah. No, but I'm curious, yeah, to see how, you know, if it's noticeably different from the hip hop I would hear in New England or in the States.
Yeah, it's got its own feel. It's Michael McGuire has an incredible spoken word about Nova Scotian hip hop, and he one of the lines, he calls it full of weird raps and ingenuity, and it really, you feel that as you're kind of going through all the different artists.
Cool. Yeah. And so there's five of you now working on this piece?
Myself and five dancers. So okay. I'm choreographing all of it. There's really not that many breakers in Nova Scotia that are looking to do kind of like a more contemporary theater setting with the dance. And so I have five incredible dancers who are cross-trained in like hip-hop, modern, that sort of thing, that I kind of like crash course taught breaking foundation to. And I was not easy on them in my choreo, but kind of like brought them through the process to get them where they're at now.
Wow. It sounds like it's a pretty extensive process because you've been working with some of these folks for more than a year?
Yeah. Three of the dancers, one of them was in the very first version, the first trio that became a duo, and then two of them were a part of the trio version afterwards. So three of them working on and off with this specific project for about 2 years each, I would say, as we enter the third.
Cool. Wow. And where's your venue?
The venue is Dance Space. So it's the third floor of the Lighthouse Arts Center. It's a new location. Dance Space has been a studio for an incredibly long time, but we had an old location on Argyle Street. And then very recently, when the Lighthouse Arts Center was built, we got put into the third floor, and we have this fantastic little black box theater / dance studio.
Cool. Yeah, that's actually, I'm in the same venue.
Well, hilariously, I'm also the manager of Dance Space. So if you have any thoughts, please tell me.
Oh, good to know. Okay. Yeah, and I had looked online, and it looked like, yeah, I didn't know it was called Lighthouse Arts Space. And one of the things I had to do was when I was creating a postcard and poster, I just like went online and I found the address. I think the address is correct. I think people will hopefully know where that is. I think I just have 1800 Argyle, like I had the street address and, you know, third floor, whatever.
I told them at Fringe, I went, you're going to want to put signs up to direct people.
Okay, so that's good to hear. But yeah, so it looks like also would be a cool space for what I'm doing, which is, you know, similar. Well, it's not dance, but it's very low tech. It's basically, I would say it's kind of a combination of theater and storytelling. So, you know, I think being in a black box like that, I've done other shows in those kind of environments, and it seemed to work really well.
Nice. So, and what's the story? What's the story you're telling?
Yeah, so my show is called The Expiration Date, and it basically is, I call it a dramedy. So it's kind of mixing the dark and the light. It's partly, when I was working on the show, I have a director who's also a writer named Leland Kay, and they, when I was working on a draft of the show a couple years ago, I said, well, I'm still getting a handle on what it's really about. And she said, well, they said, it's really about death. And I said, well, that sounds kind of depressing. And they were like, well, you know, knowing you, you're going to weave a lot of humor into it, because I had done two previous shows about different aspects of getting somewhat older, like a show about middle age. My first show, it was called One Man's Journey Through the Middle Ages, and I wrote it around turning 50. So this show, I wrote around turning 65, which was kind of stunning for me as a boomer who really never, in a way, thought he was going to get old. And it's partly about dealing with, there's a Jewish expression, man plans and God laughs. So, you know, it's just dealing with life's curveballs and kind of coming out the other side, and at the same time being aware that it does seem like I'm mortal and that most people are. And, okay, how do we deal with that? And living with uncertainty and trying to make the most out of whatever, you know, the time we have. And as I get older, I'm more conscious that, you know, the mileage behind me is you know, longer than what's up ahead. So it can be a little dark, but there's also a lot of humor in it. So I have everything from an experience I had when I was 5. I was hit by a car on the first day of school. Wow. To a very bad gummy experience I had in my 60s. Because I didn't really understand how gummies worked.
Like edible gummies.
Exactly. Okay, and very out of character for me, not something I would ever do. And one way or another, I did it. And I literally thought I had died. I had this whole paranoia experience of being out for like 5 hours. So it's really from, you know, the whole range. And again, there's a lot of humor in it, but it's also, discuss my identities. I'm, you know, gay, I'm Jewish, I don't really get into it in this show so much about being hard of hearing, but just about dealing with different aspects of myself. And I've lived in different situations. I lived in a Quaker house, a yoga ashram, I belonged to a Unitarian church, I used to go to a progressive synagogue, and in all these situations, I feel like I kind of fit in, and I'm searching for something. At the same time, I'm always like, well, I don't really fit in. And then if I do fit in, I'm like, what's wrong with these people? So, you know, it's all about, you know, kind of trying to figure out what this life is about, especially without having the traditional concept of the guy upstairs, you know, the God, the patriarchal God. The show does, from the feedback I've gotten, is that, you know, it makes people think about their own lives and their own questions, and thinking about, yeah, you know, what does this mean? Is there an afterlife? Why does this matter? And I don't present easy answers, because that hasn't been my honest experience, but I think it raises questions, while I think it's also pretty entertaining. So that's really the feedback I've gotten. I did it in Calgary at the Calgary Fringe last summer, and I got a, you know, good response there. And I've done it at a number of like libraries and community centers. I'm originally from the Midwest, from Cleveland, Ohio, and I was back there this spring, and I did the show at a number of libraries there. And, you know, it seems to resonate with people. You know, naturally, people, I think, over, say, 50, they get it, even the title, because they're like, okay, yeah, we're getting older here. But I lived in this communal house for 3 years until last fall, and a lot of my housemates were, most of my housemates were in their 20s or early 30s. And I did the show there, and I was surprised that they said to me, yeah, you know, I could relate to the questions. It also made me think about, like, you know, my parents who are getting older and people I've known and stuff like that. So, you know, I think these questions come up at all phases, you know, at every phase of our lives. So I'm hoping that in a way it's a personal story that's also kind of universal.
Yeah.
Because as much as I can tell, everybody does seem to be mortal. Which
haven't found one yet who isn't.
Well, yeah, I mean, unless some people would say maybe Jesus came back, but I mean, he only came back for a couple days, I guess. But yeah, I mean, basically, we're all on this journey, right? And nobody knows, you know, nobody really knows when, you know, when their time is up, right?
Yeah.
So we all live with this. To me, that's the human condition.
Could have been
so,
in five on that first day of school.
I mean, and that's the thing, you know, one of the things I say in the show, I have a line, I said, you know, youth is wasted on the young, they're feckless, reckless, think they're immortal, but I never did, and here's why. So, yeah, I mean, I gotta.
Is that the start of the show?
It's not the start of the show.
Okay.
The show actually starts where I'm on the phone. It starts with something like, melanoma doesn't crawl, it jumps. The dermatologist from the pigmented lesion clinic told me when he called 2 days ago. When he called, not a nurse, not an aide, a bad sign I knew instinctively, even though his tone was pleasant, and goes on from there.
Yeah.
So about
also
4 years ago,
start.
I got diagnosed with melanoma. So the show is not really chronological. It kind of moves around in time, but it does trace a number of situations that I would not have ordered from the catalog. And then, you know, what do you do with that? And I do believe that most of us, by the time we're adults already, you know, even if you're 25 or 30, you probably had a number of situations that you would not maybe have chosen and that maybe remind us or you that, okay, you know, there is some risk involved in life, and nobody comes with a money-back warranty, right?
Yeah.
So this is really what the show is about. You know, I don't feel like, hopefully it's not coming across like, well, this happened to me, and let me give you a list, but much more about, okay, there is stuff that went on, and this kind of how I got through it, and again, hopefully getting people to think about, yeah, what's meaningful, what's their search involve, what is there something beyond this life, what happens? I don't have easy answers, but I feel like I can raise the questions.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds so fantastic. And clearly from the amount of laughs that needed to be cut out of this, I should come see your show.
I mean, I think it is humorous, but you know, my intention is to really, that hopefully people will be entertained, but that they also will think about their own journeys and things
yeah.
like that. And that was one reason, I would say my previous show, which was called It's Now or Never, My Life in the Late Middle Ages, which I did at a number of Canadian festivals, that show was probably like 60%, 65% humorous and like, yeah, like two-thirds and like one-third more serious. This show might be a little bit flipped, maybe 40-60.
Okay.
Because I wanted it to be honest. I wanted it to be real. And one of the things that I really experienced as in getting older is, you know, it's like I talked to my older brother. It's like, you know, we're like cars that are out of warranty. You know, it's like high mileage. And there's no, for most things, there's no replacement part.
Yeah.
The warranty has expired. And what do you do with that, you know? I've lost several friends. One of my friends just passed away a month ago. I see people like my age, or in some cases, even like in their 50s, younger, for one reason or another, pass away, which again is kind of a reminder that life is, I don't know. It's like not guaranteed, you know. It comes with a certain amount of uncertainty.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean,
no money back guarantee.
no money back guarantee, but you know, having a sense of humor helps.
Yeah, it feels like if the first, if your previous show was a comedy, this one the comedy's to get you through the show.
There you go. Yeah, you know. So yeah, that's why I kind of call it a dramedy. You know, yeah. Say it's a bit of a mix.
You're kind of, you know, walking the audience into a darker place, and then go, I'll bring you back now.
Right, exactly. So then the gummies come in and things like that, which was not funny. So a lot of these situations, you know, a lot of times I found, looking back, even with the accident, when I talk about it now, I can frame it with a certain amount of humor. At the time, it was not fun, you know. And even the gummies, man, I was like, I think I need to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
It's funny because I remember this friend of mine came. Somehow I managed to operate my phone, which took me like 15 minutes to figure out how to. And he comes over, and I'm on the floor, you know, dizzy. I'm like freaking out. And he walks in, and he said, "Well, I know what your next column is going to be about." And I was like, "I can't think about that right now, you know."
I'm thinking about breathing.
Yeah, exactly. How much
do you know what the measurement on that gummy was for context?
I don't know, but my friend, so what happened was, you know, there was this like fair in downtown Boston, and this was about 7 years ago, and the marijuana had just become legal, in Massachusetts, because in the U.S. it varies according to this, you know, the state you're in. And so they had this festival, and I kind of stumbled on it. It was not like on my to-do list, but I was already in town. And this guy says, "Well, the package is about as much marijuana, the whole package, as 3 or 4 joints." Well, when I smoked a little pot in college, I didn't really remember that all I would do would be take a few puffs on, and then I would be really buzzed. And I'm the kind of person that, like, if I drink one beer or have one glass of wine, I am flying. So, like, I'm very sensitive to stuff. So, you know, he's like, "Well, yeah, the whole package is like 3 joints." So I'm like, "Oh, yeah, okay." And so I took one. And then because I just felt tired, about 20 minutes later, I took another one.
Oh.
So, and then I'm driving home, and fortunately it wasn't very far, and I had the sensation of feeling like I was coming out of my body, which I'd never experienced before because I'd never done other drugs. And I literally felt like I was coming out of my body, which freaked me out. And so things went downhill from there. Yes. Yeah, and I literally thought, and this is where, you know, it gets in the dark and the light, because my younger brother, about a month before that, had died of a very rare liver cancer. My brother was a marathon runner, you know, very healthy, and he had passed away. So I was in this mindset of kind of just like wanting to numb out, which is why I was at this place in the first, and why I normally wouldn't be putting something in, like, I would be like, okay, let me read the label, let me get more information.
Let me cut this gummy in half.
Yeah, exactly. But I wasn't thinking really, because I was not in a great. So anyways, that's what happened. So then I literally thought, as I was having this experience, that I was dead, and that this was like my near death thing. So I talk about this in the show. It's all true.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, it's like the humor and the pathos, because again, it was like one reason I was in that state was because it was right after this, you know, shock of losing my brother. But the situation itself, my nephew came by to pick up some furniture, and he was like, you don't look well. And I said, "Don't worry, I'm not contagious." And he was like, "Well, how do you know?" And I was like, "Because I was just at the Hemp Fest." And he starts laughing. You know, he was in his 20s. And it was like, "What happened?" "Well, I took a gummy." He goes, "I can't believe it." Because he knows me. And
Where's the package? I'll get rid of this for you. Don't worry about it.
So my friend who stayed with me for 5 hours during this whole time, he said, "Where's the package?" He found the package. And he goes to the website, and he said, "Well, they gave you the highest concentration, and you took 2 of them." And he was like, that's when he got nervous, because he was like, "Oh, my God, you took this, you know, humongous dose of THC.
Yeah.
So anyway, yes. So so the show is, you know, the sublime, the ridiculous, a lot of stuff about identity. Yeah. You know, I talk, I have a piece in the show about, you know, like, again, I live in the Quaker house, a yoga ashram. I go to Unitarian Church, but I'm also Jewish, and Jewish history is not exactly a laugh riot, as you know, and there's a lot of shit going on now in the Middle East. But then if you, you know, look at Jewish history over the last 3,000 years, there seems to be a trend of, you know, they say every Jewish holiday is like, they tried to kill us, we survived, let's eat. So, you know, I talk a little bit about the identity and just how I'm, you know, not following the rules and I'm like a bad Jew, but then I was also a bad Unitarian, a bad Quaker, a bad yoga ashram resident, and it's all this thing about where do I fit? And I think, I don't know, I think anybody who's ever felt different, I think we're all kind of searching for some sense of home. And that is probably the theme that runs through the show. The biggest theme is that I hope will connect with other people is this idea that, yes, we're mortal. I don't think anybody has a handbook on how to live life on this earth. At least I never got it. And then where, you know, where do I fit in? How do I find my place? Is there a place? And that kind of, and I'm still figuring that out, even as a senior.
Trying to find that chosen community rather than the...
Yeah, and I think it's probably not really... I think it's more internal, ultimately, than external. Like, we have to maybe find our place inside.
Yeah.
But it's... for in my case, that's, I think, been, like, the lifelong journey. So again, it would be like disingenuous for me to stand up and come across as all spiritual and say, well, you know, here's, I'm older and here's what I figured out. I feel like it's more real for me to be like, well, I tried this, I tried that, didn't work so well, I learned something, and you know, I know more now than I did then. That's like the honest, that's all I can do, you know, so.
Yeah.
Well, fantastic. I feel like, you know, I want, so in terms of your dance, is this your first Fringe?
This is my first Fringe. First Fringe in dance. I used to act, and I kind of I stopped for the lucrative career of a breakdancer. So this would be my first Fringe ever. And also, like, with my piece as the Dance Space manager, we had been working to get Dance Space as a Fringe stage last year, but we kind of connected a little bit too late in the game to really have that go through. So this year we wanted to do it with the focus of trying to get more dance companies and more dancers into Fringe to either do solos, duos, smaller productions. And I really resonated with that specifically as a breaker, because even in all of Canada, there's a handful of dance companies that do hip hop in a contemporary setting. There's even less that do breaking in a contemporary setting. As far as I'm aware, there's one. And, you know, here in Nova Scotia, I'm really inspired by that company, B-Boyism, the founder being Crazy Smooth. And when I first organized this with Fringe to like have this go ahead, try to focus on dance, I really wanted my piece to be in it because, you know, not only is it the perfect setup for Fringe of, oh, you have a small dance show, maybe you're in a smaller scene, stylistically it's not as popular in Nova Scotia, but then also just kind of the spirit of the piece itself. You know, it was called Breakthrough because in the breaking world, in the dance world, I'm very comfortable with battling and competing and doing it solo and by myself, but this is like a step in a new direction for me of trying to choreograph and see how my style and my dance works on other people. So it was really exciting when the opportunity came along, and felt a little ridiculous because I didn't have a dance yet. And I was like, all right, well, let's book it for Fringe. But has worked out wonderfully. It's really cool, and I hope that more I hope dancers show up and I get to kind of, or listen to this, and I get to kind of explain to them the goal of Dance Space and Dance Nova Scotia with partnering with Fringe, because I feel like in theater it's very, everyone, like not everyone, but it's quite common for those to have a one-person show, two-person show, you know, have something that you can do to work through a, you know, a circuit of fringe festivals or whatever. Right. But in the dance world, it's so focused on like, well, we got to have 10, 15 dancers. We got to have a 40-foot stage and all this. It's like, well, you can do really incredible things by yourself or with a duo in kind of a more small, intimate space. And so I'm hoping to kind of use this piece, use the setting of Dance Base to kind of direct younger dancers to a more kind of grassroots a route of, you know, you don't have to get in with an established company. You can make your own show and you can do your own thing. And there's places that'll present you without needing to already have Canada Council backing you type thing, you know?
Right. It's kind of breaking the old paradigm.
Exactly. Yeah. You know?
Neat.
And the more breaking puns I can get in, the better it is
right,
for everybody.
Right. And then, like, you think you might also take it on the road?
Eventually, yeah. I teach a lot of breaking, but it's always kind of beginner classes because I'll go to like elementary school, junior highs, high school. And I know in Nova Scotia, it's like I've gone up to Cape Breton a few times to teach. And I know that for a lot of the students there, it's most likely, it could very well be the only time in their life that they see a high level breaker in person. And so the idea that this show could be the opportunity to kind of like take it around, even just through rural Nova Scotia, through New Brunswick, PEI, Newfoundland, to give a younger audience, even an older audience, and a chance to see breaking in like a really true to the culture, true to the art form style is something that I think is really important to kind of growing it out here. Because, you know, every breaker you talk to will say, when people talk about breaking, they're like, oh, it's all those head spins and flips and stuff. And it's like, well, that's a part of it, but we've got all this other stuff involved
right.
with it.
Right.
And so with this show, as it grows, I really want to try and capture as much as I can on a stage the feeling of the events and the cultures and the community that really kind of create the dance and how it looks today.
Yeah, I guess I just encourage people to come to the show. Again, it's the expiration date at Dance Space. My first show is this Friday evening, which is the 28th, I think, at 10:15 p.m., which is past my bedtime. But anyways, yeah, so
Friday the 29th.
Okay, Friday the 29th at 10:15 p.m., and then I have shows on, I believe, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and during the week, next week. So I hope folks will check it out.
Nathaniel Natorius Dukes with my show Breakthrough. We have a one-off, so it's September 4th, Thursday at 8:30 p.m. at Dance Base, 1800 Argyle Street. I hope to see you there.
Thank you both.
Thank you. Thank you.